It seems like Easter is a long and distant memory. But in fact, we're still in Easter, this weekend being the third Sunday after, or the fourth Sunday in Easter. In fact, Easter is 40 days long, culminating in the Ascension and the Feast of Pentecost. And by the way, we are having an Ascension service. It's a joint service among our churches of the Hammond Circuit, and we'll be at Trinity in Hammond, and I'll be the preacher. So I invite you to come. It's an odd time, though, 7 o'clock on a Thursday night, but that's how it falls, some 40 days after Easter. I think the best way maybe to understand this season of Easter, then, is to think of it like the summer road trip that you've been planning. I know I've been planning such a road trip, and when I think about it, I know what it's going to be like. When we start off, everything is going to be brimming with excitement, especially the children. It's 106 miles to Chicago. We'll have a full tank of gas, our car will be packed, and we'll all be wearing our sunglasses. But it won't take long, and you know this to be true, it won't take long for the thrill to wear off, especially on a long trip, which is what we've got planned. By the first toilet break, I'm sure we'll all be ready to get out and get on with vacation. But no, there will be many more miles to go before we get there. And so, parents know this to be true, excitement will turn into boredom. And then the boredom, more than likely, into mischief. What's going on back there? I can already hear myself yelling. About the time we get there, some of us might probably want to turn back and go home. Some of us might even come to doubt that we'll ever get there, to get out of that cramped, hot car. And so you see, these long road trips often begin with excitement, but then get a little boring or tedious, or even get to be challenging. And Easter, the season of Easter, is a picture of the life of a Christian, too. Jesus knows what kind of anxiety we have in this life, and he delivers to us relief. So it was with the disciples. In the upper room there, just a few hours before our Lord would be handed over to be crucified, Jesus gives those words to tell them what their life is going to be like, the path that they're about to travel, the journey they're about to go on. And they have anxiety over those words. He's setting them up for a long and difficult journey. For he's about to go to the cross and then be with them just 40 days until he ascends into heaven. He says to them, "A little while and you shall see me. And again, you shall not see me, excuse me. And again, after a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father." It's really a cryptic statement, isn't it? Especially for those disciples. They're clearly confused. I don't think St. John was making a mistake when he recorded the gospel, but it is hard for the lector to read it, because it's so repetitive. A little while, over and over. What St. John is trying to tell us is, the disciples are confused, and so might we. And we should listen very carefully to Jesus' explanation. We know the explanation. A little while they will not see him, because in just 3 hours, he's going to go to his death. But then a little while later, they will see him again, because he will rise from the dead and appear to them many times. But for those disciples who don't know about the resurrection, or at least don't understand the extent of it, Jesus' statement is clearly a mystery. So it is for our life, too. Jesus says similar words to us, for he brings us into the church in excitement through our baptism with great rejoicing. But then it seems he leaves us even. And we travel a long and difficult road for our life. That is how it is like for the Christian life. It's how it is for Easter. We begin with a joyous celebration, and then Easter festival kind of transitions into a difficult journey again, especially the summer months. So, what was begun in our baptism takes a long time to come to its completion on the last day, is when it finally reaches its culmination. That's why St. Peter described our lives today as one of sojourners or exiles, people who are traveling in a wilderness. Perhaps you're one of those fortunate ones who can remember their baptism. Or maybe you're one who departed from the church for a while and then came back. Even if you just miss for a few weeks and then return, you kind of understand what it's like. For when you first joined or when you first returned, there was the thrill again of being in church, hearing God's word, receiving his gifts once again. But then, maybe, tedium set in. Becomes just again a part of your habit, what you do on Sunday morning. Or perhaps what seemed to be such a great thing to become a Christian makes that transition into the reality. As a Christian, we learn what our lives are truly like, the kinds of crosses and trials that we suffer. So like the disciples, we begin our lives in Easter triumph and Easter joy. But then, shortly thereafter, we return to either our boring or tedious lives or even our difficult struggles. So consider this Easter festival time, this season of Easter. It began with joyous singing, the festive meals, the delight of children. I heard someone say Easter Bunny in the congregation. Yeah, the delight that we have at Easter with Easter eggs and Easter hunts. And even that afternoon nap that I slowly look forward to. Those things are now distant memories. For some, Easter then was only a brief respite from the reality of our lives, the grief that we suffer for our loved ones who are recently dead, or perhaps the sorrow of a debilitating illness that we still suffer, or maybe the struggles of that besetting addiction we can't shake off. So our lives are a little different than the disciples. They didn't know what to expect as they went towards the cross and then to Easter. We're on the other side of the cross. We know what to expect. We know from Easter, we go right back again into the cross, into suffering and into trial. We know what kind of challenges are ahead for us and for our families and even for this congregation. It will be joyous, but it will also have sorrow. The greatest trial that's in store for us, of course, is the trial of our death and the sorrow of those around us, near to us, at our death. So what is the answer to this question? Something underlying the question, actually. A little while you won't see me, and a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. It's not just about Christ's cross and then his resurrection and then his ascension. It's also about what their life is going to be like as the church, as his apostles in the church. For he will be away from them for a short while. He will come to them and ascend to the Father, meaning he will be away from them again. Ascended to the right hand of the Father. Well, not quite, because he will still be with them when he sends the Spirit to guide them into the way of truth, to build the kingdom, the church. But of course, they won't truly see him in the flesh again until their death. And all of them but one, every apostle but one, will suffer the death of a martyr, dying for the faith. And you think, maybe this isn't really that comforting of a word, that he will see them again, especially if he's going to walk with them towards their death. But that's probably perhaps because of how we consider our lives. We consider them in a very worldly way. We even consider the way God's love is exercised in a worldly way. If God loves me, he'll answer my prayers, we think. Well, so too with what Jesus is talking about today in his gospel. He's talking about his presence, his loving presence, his embrace, that he's with you. But too often we might think of that embrace, that presence of the Lord, in very worldly terms. I don't see him, you might say, or I don't feel his presence, the burning in my bosom, you might say. And so also the disciples will have that same struggle. Is the Lord really with him? Now that he has died, risen, and ascended into heaven. That's why Jesus gives them this answer. He says, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. This is the way of the life that we leave, isn't it? That we often weep and lament while the world rejoices around us. Or that we're sorrowful, but that sorrow is quickly turned into joy. Imagine how difficult it was for those disciples to hear those words, to say that they would be sorrowful, that he would depart from them, and they would grieve. But hear also how he promised to them joy. Joy on the next day. Imagine what that would be like, to see that vision of your future. Probably don't have to imagine too hard, do you? For you know exactly what this is like. We lead a life daily of weeping while our families suffer. We lament when death snatches loved ones or friends away from us. And outside these walls, the world rejoices, or maybe sleeps, while we confess our sins, grieve them even. For we are sorrowful for what we have done in our lives, to the world and even to our Lord. We are sorrowful for what happens to us, what we receive, the crosses and trials. We especially behold the crucified Christ, and we lament our sin. But the joy of the divine service comes quickly, but a brief moment. Our sorrow is quickly turned to joy, for our Lord declares to us, I forgive you. Do not fear, do not cry, for you are mine, and no one can snatch you away from me. Now, how does that actually feel? How does it feel to be truly joyful? How does our Lord teach us? Well, he gives an example. And it's too bad that the church here didn't fall a little differently this year, because it would have been a good example for last week, Mother's Day. Our Lord declares that this life is like that of a woman in labor. He says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers her anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. That's how it's like in this life. It's even how Easter is like. It began with joy, goes to sorrow, but it each week returns to joy again, doesn't it? Each Sunday in Easter. How much more clear could Jesus be than this illustration of the woman giving birth? For pain does last, but for a short while, and then the joy of the child endures on. Well, mostly joy is raising children, yes? Yeah, it's true. Our life is joy and sorrow mixed, toil and trouble, but it does have the promise that our joy will reach its culmination, its fulfillment on the last day, when we receive our blessed end. That's why St. Peter describes our lives the way he does, wandering pilgrims, sojourners, exiles. For that is what it's like to move through the church year. It's what it's like to move through our lives. Sorrows and toils, traveling through a barren wilderness of this life, much like a woman in labor. But then it's changed into joy. For us now, with a brief weekly oasis here before the drudgery begins again. Here, our Lord provides us with just a brief respite before the eternal joys of heaven. He provides for us the pure, clear water of His Word that refreshes our parched lips, giving us tongues to sing His praise. Here, He gives us His Word and a little meal, too, a seeming inconsequential feast. The God-man who died and rose now gives you His own body and blood to drink. And in this small feast, our Lord changes our sorrows into joy. For in the feast is forgiveness of sins. We are given the joy that not any of our sorrows or laments can take away. Most of all, it tells us something that the disciples probably struggled with too. That our Lord has not left us. He's not departed. For when He ascended to the right hand of the Father, He sent His Spirit to testify to His Word. Indeed, His Spirit carries this very Word for faith and life to us. But also the Word of refreshment that is His bodily fellowship in the Holy Communion. He comes to us. He's here present with us. And He will not leave us through our wilderness journey. We may have sorrow as we move through this barren, parched wilderness. But Jesus says to us, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus knows the anxiety of this life, and He gives us relief today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.